یه پرسنده یه کتیتر I think everyone will understand why we say it is unique. Really, we are hosting the world, even though it's not for the first time. For us, it's very, very unique and indeed a blessing. I would also want to welcome you, to also thank you for your cooperation. The year 2009, we had various engagements with various MECs for cooperative governance and traditional affairs, though some are still called local government MECs. We had a fruitful engagement last year. You know, we had that demanding bill, which we eventually succeeded in passing it into a law through the cooperation of the MECs for cooperative governance and traditional assets, would also indeed anticipate, precisely because this committee is precisely the committees of the MECs that are dealing with the cooperative governance and traditional assets in various provinces. It's your committee, and the most important object of this committee indeed is oversight. So we take it as a complementary oversight wherein we want to enhance the working of the province, enhance the working of our municipality, to see how do we bring our heads together to strengthen local government in our various provinces. So I would want to thank you for that engagement in anticipation to do much better than what we could have done last year. I will take this opportunity to introduce our team, our committee members, myself once more, Matomi Humphrey Mokoli, Chairperson of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs Committee, NCOP, and I'm having members of the committee seated elsewhere down there who would also introduce themselves so that when we engage, we know each other. I will start with Honorable.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning. My name is Chetan Mufuke. I'm the member of the committee.
Good morning. My name is Wati Watson from the DA.
Good morning. My name is John Gunda. I am also a member of this committee. I represent the Northern Cape.
Good morning. My name is Morosi Khalidi Swai from the NA, from the ANC member of the committee.
Oh, my name is Dennis Bloom. I'm from the Free State. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Out further on my side, we have staff. Committee Secretary and appointed the advisor, they will also introduce themselves.
Good morning, Honorable Members. My name is Moshe Manel. I am from
the committee. Good morning, everybody. I'm Kosano Fogu. I'm supporting the work of the committee.
Thank you. Then I will allow this time to the Honorable. Perhaps I must just say we are meeting the province of Free State. And the province of Free State has come with the leader of the province in the department, MEC, who will then take up the reins and introduce the interest.
No, thanks, Chair, for the opportunity and the members of this committee. which is my committee, as the chair has actually alluded to that fact earlier on. My name is Msebenzi Zwane, MEC for Cooperative Governance, Traditional Affairs and Human Settlement. Before I move on, I would want to take this opportunity to allow the delegation also to introduce themselves so that at least we know each other, if that is permissible, Chair.
No, thanks, Chair. My name is Kupun Radi Gonzani. I'm the head of the Department for Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs in the Government.
Thank you, Chair and honorable members. My name is Tebo Gordon Tucker. I'm Director of Legal Services in the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs in the Free State.
Thank you very much.
At the back, can we know who is here?
I'm Sarah Hidrington. I'm the editor of Delivery Magazine, which is deals with local government issues.
My name is Langa. I'm from PMG.
And I'm a job in Soweto.
Are you shy to speak through the mic? Because it's like time here.
My name is Malum Gerobo. I'm a reporter from Top Radio 702 and 567 K Talk.
I'm Eleanor Marshall. I'm from Fox. Tonight, this is Gaport.
We don't put a spell on Parliament.
Hi, my name is Michael Plankis. I'm a staff member.
Morning, everyone. My name is Zirokazu Masilisa. I'm a parliamentary manager for Auditor General.
Morning. My name is Kabelo Makika. I'm the managing Auditor General of Parliamentary Office.
Thank you very much. When we question each other, another honorable effort, I think it will be a privilege to say King Kiki's effort.
Member Mantida from the NC. I want to apologize to the traffic. The buses were late today.
Thank you very much, and in a special way to welcome a member from the National Assembly of our counterpart. That side would be your hearty welcome. Thank you. We'll then move straight to the business. We have an agenda. Then give the leadership of the province. I don't know who's doing what. Thank you. You just direct from your side, Honorable MC.
No, thanks, Chair. Let me not waste your time and indicate that we are here to come and present a report about the interventions that we have engaged ourselves into in the province, and indicate that initially we had requested, got an invitation that requested us to come and present on two municipalities, that is Thabo Mfutsanyana District Municipality in Nala. And we saw it opportunistic that we should also request that we should also be allowed to present on Masilonyana local municipalities. They were taken under Section 139 during the same time with Nala. And if we are allowed to then present on three municipalities that are currently under Section 139B in the province of the Free State. If we are allowed, Chair, I will then request that the HOD should actually go through the report as it is needed. Thank you.
Yeah.
No, thanks, Jefferson. The MEC has indicated we've made a presentation to deal with the three municipalities that are under administration in the Free State. Those three municipalities, Thabo Mokgosinyane District Municipality, Masilonyana Local Municipality, which is in the Legolokutswa District, and then Nala Local Municipality, which is also in the Legolokutswa District in the Free State. The first municipality that the province took over and is presently administering is the Thabo Mokgosinyane District Municipality, where the province intervened in terms of Section 1391B of the Constitution on the 4th of November 2009. In November, the MEC commissioned that we do an assessment on some of these municipalities in the province to look at their ability to carry out their responsibilities in relation to the district municipality in supporting its local municipality and also being able to execute these responsibilities, and also the local municipalities in terms of their capacity to deal with governance matters as well as being able to execute service delivery at that level. When we looked at Thabo Mokgosinyane, we established that this district has really ceased to function effectively and is unable to render services to its local municipality. At the time that we took this municipality, overall of its Section 57 posts were almost vacant. Only one position of a community services manager was filled. The manager, the municipal manager and the CFO were almost en route out of the municipality when we took this municipality over. We are also aware that the municipality does not attend to current municipal financial and other administrative challenges which were experienced in that municipality during this period. In general, we would actually find that the council was unable to execute its responsibilities, and these two people that were exiting this municipality, the municipal manager and the chief financial officer, were almost at each other's throat and actually exiting the municipality at the end of October. So we had to execute this urgent intervention in this municipality. There are a few things that we had to evaluate when we were looking at the report. We established that, as I indicated, most of the Section 57 manager's positions were vacant: manager IDP, manager LED, manager corporate services, manager tourism. The municipal manager was on his way out at the end of October. The CFO was also on his way out. So virtually we had only one position filled in that municipality, the position of manager community services. There were also a variety of areas which were benchmarking municipalities against each other. And we looked first at the IDP status, and we found that they did not provide any framework to their local municipalities so that they were able to deal with an overall encompassing plan for the district. And they were unable to coordinate a number of these IDP issues, as the IDP manager was actually used on various areas. It was also difficult to get reports from this district when needed by the department, basically for overall provincial coordination and provincial planning. And the one critical municipality in that area, Sesotho, also attempted to actually champion this work on behalf of the district. There was also an issue around the LED status of this municipality. We had to evaluate that the LED strategy was outdated and was not reviewed, no structures in place, that the, as we had indicated, the LED manager's position was also vacant, and we also felt that there were no partnerships in relation to local economic development. There are also matters of compliance in terms of the existing legislation that we evaluated,
and found that the municipality does not comply with the Dormant Management System framework in the sense that they were even unable to sign the 209-2010 performance agreement in that municipality. There was also no agreement that existed between the various mayor and the municipal manager. The matters around the Section 46 report that the municipality has to present to the MEC, who in turn would present a Section 47 report to Parliament, to the legislature in the province, where the MEC was unable to do so because this municipality would not respond accordingly in relation to that. As we had indicated, that their performance management system also was not practiced and adopted properly by council. In terms of the law, they also have to submit their IDPs for approval by the NEC, and this the period ending June 2009, these IDPs were not submitted. We looked also on matters of basic service delivery, and looked at on how this district was the only district out of five of our districts in the province that was still dealing with the municipal infrastructure grant. The last allocation for the year 2008-2009, and at that moment there was still an outstanding amount of about 13 million unspent, and only in October were contracts only awarded, and as we speak now, the administrator is currently trying to ensure that we meet the deadlines of ensuring that by March we are able to spend this infrastructure fund. Also, matters of good governance and public participation. There was an indication that there is no dedicated public participation officer, which makes the work of the speaker a challenge, and that there was also no clear program in relation to how they deal with their rural communities, because they also happen to have a predominantly rural area. This municipality is one of the municipalities where we had, as a department, were unable also to receive the necessary cooperation, especially from the municipal manager, in being able to just assist in dealing with the basics in this municipality. They also, as indicated, failed to supply constant information. Management letters of the Auditor General were not receiving any attention in this municipality at the time we actually took this municipality over. And then we therefore made a recommendation to the Provincial Executive Council Chairperson to consider invoking Section 139-1B in this municipality, and the Executive Council duly resolved to introduce Section 139-1B in Thabong Futsanyana, and we duly also had to follow processes by informing the Minister for Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, and then also informing our provincial legislature, and then we also did the same by informing this Honorable House in relation to this process immediately after the resolution of the Executive Council. At the moment, the Council is stabilizing. The Council, on overall, is cooperating with the administrator, who is attempting to turn this municipality around. We are hoping that this intervention may end on the 30th of June 2010, depending on the progress, the evaluation that the Executive Council will duly make with the monthly reports that we receive, whether the municipality is fully on recovery. All these positions that were vacant, as I indicated at the moment, is only the administrator and the Section 57 manager responsible for community services. So two people that are attempting to run that municipality, almost all positions are vacant. They have been advertised, those posts have been advertised, and we will be proceeding with filling those positions, the MN's position, the Chief Financial Officer's position, and all other positions that I have subsequently referred to in the week of the 22nd of February. We are also have already tried to deal with the financial challenges that this municipality was facing by disbursing funds in actually to stabilize the financial capacity and its ability to address its creditors. That is Thabo Mufudzanyana, Chairperson. All of them.
Where these municipalities are?
Okay. Chairperson, the Thabo Mufudzanyana district's head office is in Kwakwa. It is the eastern part of the Free State. That municipality, I think, constitutes of about 6 local municipalities in the eastern part of the Free State. That is where it is. The second municipality, I think, that I will be dealing with is Masilonya. Its head office is in Tieneze, next to Belco. It is in the area of Lejolepuswa, the Goldfields district. So it's a local municipality. Then we've got Nala, local municipality. It is its head office is in Botavis. It's also comprised of Wesselsbron as another town that constitutes this municipality. So the head office of Nala is in Botany. Thank you, Chair. We also, in November, went through the same process in relation to the municipality of Nala and of Masilonyana, Chairperson. This is Masilonyana. At the time, we went through and compiling our report. This municipality had virtually come to its knees. It was also unable to pay its staff and its third parties. The workers had stopped working at this municipality because of its inability to pay the workers. And almost the mayor and the municipal manager were now squatting full-time at the High Court, having to defend payment to third parties because they were unable to meet their obligation. They are unable to collect revenue, which has basically resulted in the escalation of their debtors to 129 million as at the end of October 2009. This is a reasonably small municipality. 120 million debt is a lot of money. By that time, their creditors book has escalated to 10 million at the end of October. And there was also an inability to spend the municipal infrastructure fund, where expenditure was at 12% by the end of November, whereas the target was supposed to be 50%. And at the time we interviewed this municipality in December, on the 9th of December, the municipality was also facing the risk of losing the portion of this conditional grant, which was to be held by National Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. In most instances, also, this municipality in the last consecutive years has been able to comply in submitting its Section 46 report. They also could not adopt a performance management framework to regulate the performance of staff. The unfortunate part, because of their finances being in disarray, they were also unable to comply with the Municipal Finance Management Act by providing quarterly reports. This municipality went further to when they saw that they are in serious financial difficulties to request the MEC to intervene in terms of Section 137 of the Municipal Finance Management Act so that the MEC could assist with financial recovery processes and other related matters. At this point, we're raising in the sense that it proves the inability of this municipality to manage their affairs in a prudent manner. So, given all these other related matters, the executive council had to intervene. There are also matters of compliance here that we looked at around the performance management framework that there were agreements signed, but because there were no performance management system framework, we actually wondered as to what were the basis for signing of this agreement in Masilonyana local municipality. There were also the issue of these performance reports that were not adopted and submitted. and they're also being unable to approve this performance management framework. Around issues of basic service delivery, the municipalities, the infrastructure program had really collapsed in the sense that they had only spent 2.5 million of their 21.7 million grant on NIC allocation. And as we indicated, they stood at risk of losing this money. There was also evidence which was produced that there was no prudent financial management. The debtors were escalating, the creditors were also showing the largest, with the water being a big threat at that moment because it accounted for about 4.3 million of that 10 million in October, and they were actually also getting threats from the water board of cutting off their water. Their opinion for 207-208 was a disclaimer, and there were a number of issues that were highlighted there which indicated that there were no prudent financial management in the municipality. We went through the same process. The executive council had to intervene. We reported to the member responsible for provincial and local government, cooperative governance and traditional affairs, and the provincial legislature in our province, and then the National Council of Provinces was also duly informed. At the moment, we have stabilized the budget of this municipality. I think at the moment already in the last 3 months, we had pumped close to 4.5 million rand in this municipality just to bring about financial integrity, financial recovery, trying to create integrity to be able to pay staff on time, and also put on systems with our administrator in that municipality to ensure that we are able to actually collect what is also due to the municipality, and that we are able to execute. One problem that created a fundamental problem financially was that because they were unable to execute their infrastructure project, they were unable to claim their grant national, and therefore sometimes even using their own money to pay contractors at that level, which was creating a big problem. We've also brought in a team working with the Development Bank of South Africa to deal with the municipal infrastructure implementation plan, and we are aware that expenditure has improved drastically there. One critical problem in this municipality of Masilonyana was also a problem of both workers, where a lot of money was paid to workers that did not exist. We had to deal with the integrity of the human resource information in that municipality at the moment, working with the administrator to standardize that process. The third municipality is Nala Local Municipality. I said its seat is in Botterville, in the northern part of the Free State, northwestern part of the Free State. We also had to go through a similar process around Nala, and there were critical issues also emanating from the inability of the administration of this municipality to perform properly. The issues also around the expenditure of the municipal infrastructure grant, whereas the target was supposed to be 50%. They were slightly better than Masilonyana because they were at 25%. When Masilonyana was about 12%. Nala was unable to manage his finances properly, such that the Auditor General had found the finances of the municipality to be in complete disarray. He could not access any documentation. When he actually went in this municipality at one stage, he found that most documentation, that basic documentation on expenditure, could not be produced. This municipality had to be summoned to the Provincial Committee on Public Accounts, and they recommended a lot of other issues around this municipality on matters related to their inability to produce documentation and source documents. There was also, at that moment, because of issues around the Auditor General's report, inability to audit this municipality, until the intervention of the department, they then also suspended the municipal manager and this caused a big problem in that municipality, as councillors for a considerable time were unable to convene meetings properly because they were actually divided in half. There were those that felt that this municipal manager should not be suspended. There were those that felt that municipal manager must actually go home. And therefore, we then also are looking at other issues that we have already mentioned up there to take this municipality and put it under administration. The council basically was unable to deal with institutional arrangements, especially the filling of the CFO post and the related finance personnel. Actually, the critical situation when we evaluated this municipality of Nala, we found that the treasury was in complete disarray and they had insufficient staff in their treasury department. The same process around IDP, not properly coordinated, and also not having an IDP manager appointed to be able to marshal community participation properly in that process. The position of the LED manager was vacant and no LED strategy existed. The municipality also did not have a performance management framework, and therefore, although there was only an agreement with the municipal manager, there were no basis for signing this without a proper performance management systems framework. No, other managers were signed with the municipal manager, and the municipal manager had not yet signed with the mayor in that municipality. There were also issues of being unable to submit Section 46 reports, including 39 reports on performance management system, and also adopting the ID process and having a council resolution around this IDP document. I've highlighted the issue of under-expenditure. The MIG allocation for 2009-2010 amounted to about 32.5 million. And the expenditure at the time of this us taking over this municipality was at 8.2 million, and they were also at risk of losing this money because they were expected at least to be more than 50% at the time we took this municipality over. They just do not also have a dedicated public participation officer, and this renders the office of the speaker being incapable to monitor and support community initiatives. They have also on several occasions failed to provide quarterly financial performance reports, and there has been a tendency of the administration of that municipality to reject support from the province, including failure to cooperate with the Office of the Auditor General. The office evidence cannot be produced for a prudent financial management system. The debtors' book of the municipality was escalating to 177.4 million. And the municipality owed an amount of 32.5 million, the biggest creditor being the Sibiu Water Board at 12.7 million. There was a 207 report, 208 was also a disclaimer opinion, and I indicated that in 208-209, the Auditor General was finding it difficult to get corporations to audit this municipality. The disclaimer of 207-208-208-209, even up to this moment, we are working hard to deal with the management letter and working with the Auditor General to finalize audit there since the administrator took over. In the same process, we had to comply with the constitutional requirements around this process. In Nala, the effect, Chairperson, of invoking this section is that now the council is tabled and all councillors now attend council meetings. We are of a view that we are not as ready as in other municipalities where we said this intervention may end on the 30th of June. When we look at Nala, we see that there's going to be a serious challenge there. We might have to prolong the occupation to 31st December 2010. We have gone through a process of reinstating the municipal manager at that level, and so that we are able to engage with him in the process of forensic audit that we are doing with a firm of auditors there. So we thought that it would be prudent that he is back. And we are also working hard to improve the MIG expenditure there. Because their CFO function was basically non-existent, we appointed a firm to assist with the CFO function in that municipality at the moment. So the overall price firm is working with the administrator there to deal with the CFO function in that municipality. Chair, we would want to request the National Council of Provinces to approve our federal occupation of these three municipalities. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Is there any addition before I would allow the Honorable to engage with you? No addition? Then I will allow the Honorable members to engage. I will allow the Honorable members to engage in this matter. I would suggest that we tackle the district and finish with the district. We come so that we are not mixing issues across municipalities. Honorable Mufuge.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just for the record, I would like to make this house aware that I am from the third municipality together with the NEC and the third concern. And before Honorable MEC was elected, the MEC, he was the mayor of that district municipality. Now my question will be with regard to the vacancies. For how long did those vacancies exist to an extent that they rendered the municipality ineffective? Why I'm asking this question, Chairperson, is that what is the role of the department with regard to the monitoring over the municipalities and the guidance to the municipalities to ensure that before they apply Section 139, how do they assist the municipalities to avoid problems that will lead to the application of Section 139? I assume that those vacancies, those managers did not resign en masse. That the either the municipality or the department was not aware that if those vacancies are not filled, they will obviously lead to the collapse of the municipality. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So we take one. I would like to take a group of questions and make follow-up. Honorable Matila. Honorable Watson, are you here right now? Yeah, in that order. You think of
Chair, just as in addition to the point raised by my colleagues there, you know, it seems in terms of this district, there's no municipality there. But generally, when they went through all three municipalities, we don't get a sense as to where the municipalities are at this point in time. You know? And it is important for us, before we engage properly, that we are given a sense as to what is the situation presently. Because that will assist us to deal with, because to me, is that you don't even need a B, you must go to C and just collapse all those municipalities in terms of this particular report.
Yes, Chair, I'm really disturbed to have found out. I didn't hear that only this morning. I found it out some time ago that the MEC who is here with us was in fact the municipal manager, the executive mayor of this municipality. And I think I think the MEC owes it to this committee to tell the NCOP, to tell Parliament, what he did to try and prevent these things before he was promoted to province and made the MEC. Because, as quite rightly has been said, these things don't happen in 2, 3, 4 months. It happens over a long time. And all the vacancies that existed, I'm sure that some of them, if not immediately, in his time, immediately after that, it happened. And in the run-up to all this, must have been under the guidance and the mayorship of the Honourable MEC. I mean, you read things like no performance agreement exists between the executive mayor and the then municipal manager. And yes, it's the previous executive mayor now as the Honourable MEC. So I really would like to hear from the MEC in detail what, during his tenure as the executive mayor, he did to try and prevent things like this happening before assuming responsibility for all the rest of the municipalities in the province. Thank you, sir.
Are you done? Yeah. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Really, Honorable Chair, let me make this statement in Afrikaans. Ek dink nie hierdie district munisipaliteit en die agbare LER van hierdie departement kan hier sit vir oggend en trots wees op dit wat hier voor ons lê nie. Want it is true, things like this does not happen overnight. There are serious implications here, contradicting the law, the local municipal law, the Structures Act of the local government. Let's say, for instance, forget about the 57, Section 57 policy. If you take the legislature compliance, Section 46, Municipal Systems Act, the annual performance reports for 2005 and 6, 2006 and 7, and 2007 and 8 have not been adopted by council and not submitted to the MEC as required by legislation. And yet, I don't know when was the MEC, the mayor of this district municipality, was he the mayor before the 2009 elections? If he was the mayor before 2009 elections, I don't think, and I'm honest, I'm not personally now, I don't think he can solve this problem, because he was there, he couldn't solve the problem. This is serious implications. And the people who are suffering here are the ordinary people who are supposed to receive services. And they can't receive services because of the inability of people who doesn't know their work, who doesn't understand the law, and yet we must sit here today and argue with them, knowingly that they have done nothing for the people of the city. Nothing. You can ask questions like, when will that money be ready, the 13.5 million rand, who will benefit from it, the quality of projects. Those are the things that we need on paper to see. Are these people working? And yet these people are receiving salaries, and yet these people are not working. According to this report, if we read properly, these people are not working. The council did not function for years.
Can you cover the question?
So my question here is, I would like to know the department, how far, if I read through here, I did not see a pinpoint thing that the department has really done, and I would like the department to show this committee that really we have done this. I would like to know from the department now, can the department prove to us that even these people that were there, how far did they get of these people? Is this thing really now in place? And how did they go about to solve this problem? Thank you.
Honorable Bloom?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Chairperson. No, I think that the other members have made it very easy for me. You know, we must first start where Ntate Mofokeng has started. This vacant post has not started after the election, the 22nd of April. It has started when the Honorable MEC was still the mayor in the municipality. But another very important issue is the name. My comrades have said we must get the names of these municipalities. He has said it's in Kwazwa, but the six municipalities, give us the names, and we'll come to a lot of other things if that municipality, the six towns where he was the mayor at that time. But Chairperson, my other question will be, a lot of funds were pumped in there, and it went missing. How many people were charged with corruption in that area? Is there anyone who was arrested for corruption, who has misused taxpayers' money in that area? We want to find out about that. It was said now that money is being pumped in now again. You see, even the Auditor General, yes, must be blamed. You can't pump money into a municipality or a department where the money is not being accounted for. You take 40 million rand. That 40 million rand is gone. You come back, you put 60 million rand. You are telling people, no, steal, nothing will happen to you. My question is, the two questions, Chairperson, is how, is there any person who was charged with corruption? How many of them were charged and sentenced to that? My other questions will flow from, if I know the six other towns. Thank you.
Following on what Honorable Brim has asked, on page 21 of the report, the department says, and this question is to the department, an in-depth investigation on ghost workers is finalized. Now, if it's finalized, we'd like to know, ghost workers means that people were paid money for not being people. So somebody else got the money. And I'd like to know exactly what was finalized in terms of the ghost workers, who actually received the money, and as my colleague has said, have they been charged with corruption? I hope they're in jail by now.
I'm assuming all the questions. I think it is important that the department takes this committee into confidence in dealing with all the issues properly. Because in terms of this report, it's empty, it's open for anything else. You know. Now, besides telling us what has happened, tell us where are you now? Because we don't want to go into an oversight visit without having that particular information in dealing with those municipalities. I've indicated earlier that my view will be collapse these municipalities because they are useless. Because if you are not telling us what are the politicians doing, what have they been doing in dealing with the administration, because if they can't appoint, they can't make sure that. My last worry is, explain to me, you have had a municipal manager that you are bringing back who was useless. Why are you bringing that municipal manager back? Now, that is the issues I'm trying to find out. And until such time that I understand and I'm clear about those particular issues, I'll be able to get engaged with this particular report. I can't do it now.
Honorable, I would suggest let's stick to the district so that we are able to capture correct recommendations that will be the basis of our decision. And then we'll come to Masulunyane, we'll come to Nala, so that when we report that, we are logical. So if we could finish with the district, penalty the district, and then we go to that other one. Like the question of Honorable Watson of the Chinguan, you can just resign it, don't forget it, in terms of a ghost, whatever. And that one of Nala.
I want to agree with you, but you see, we must also get clarity here. Does these municipalities, local ones, fall under the same district? If they don't, then I agree with you. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you very much. Kuna?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, just the last question to the district is on the page 10. All projects have been registered and contractors have been appointed during October 2009. The balance of this 13.5 million must be spent by 28 February 2010. That's what they stated. I would like to know how much money is left of that 13.5. And are they sure they will spend it by 28 February 2010? And again, who benefits? The people of that district municipality? Or who are the people that will benefit from this project? And what kind of project is this? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can I allow the province to respond? I don't know who responded, the presenter or the ministry. Any one of you, then you will compliment each other.
Well, no, thanks, Chair. And let me appreciate the questions and make it clear that the two local municipalities we're talking about here are not part of the district. And there was a request that we should mention the municipalities that are falling under that district. It's Pumelela local municipality around the area of Friede. The Shabe municipality where the Honorable Member Tate Mofokeng comes from. Sesotho municipality with a seat in Fitzberg. And Ketona municipality with its seat in Rey. There are five municipalities and the district is the sixth one. I was the appointed executive mayor there in 2006. And up until the elections, in Thabo Mofutsanyane district municipality, not local municipalities that I've mentioned. I must hasten to say, Chair, during these two years and some few months, we have had two municipal managers in that district. Some of the managers who left the municipality left because the municipality had a serious concern in terms of service delivery. Some of them, their contracts came to an end. We took a decision that we're not going to renew because of the said state of affairs in that municipality. It was clear that we are not going to renew the contract of the municipal manager, the current municipal manager who vacated the district. If you go to the minutes of the council, you will find that it is written as a resolution. Once a manager leaves, the council was able to receive that information and a resolution was taken that they let the post be filled as soon as possible. We had come to an understanding that the municipal manager who has actually left enjoyed working alone. It will take time for him to fill the post. It will actually take time before he can get any sort of a report. The mayor had to go and actually demand that this report must see its way to council. It is true that things were not normal. But when you go back to the council, you find that all the necessary steps which were to be done by the politicians and the head of the institution at that moment were done. We are requested also to give the state of affairs as we speak, and some of the questions, I would want to leave those to HOD.
No, thanks, Chairperson. Thanks, honorable members. I think as highlighted by the MEC, these posts where the vacancies were staggered over time, the recent one, as we had indicated, which basically created a very untenable situation, was that the MM and the CFO left almost at the same time, the end of October, which left us with only one manager there. There has been engagement, there has been communication with this municipality for these positions to be filled. There has been attempts, because when the municipality has to develop an annual report or a Section 46 report for submission, it is incumbent on the department to provide a framework, because this must be a nationally ruling framework. It must be provided for provincial legislation. Then the minister nationally must provide it to parliament and the SCOP. So it has to be a ruling report where we provide framework. So on several occasions, that framework was provided, and the municipality was not forthcoming with the necessary information. I think that's basically where the issue is. We would not just stand back as the department and not engage aggressively with the municipality in terms of other pieces of legislation, of giving the necessary instructions in relation to what needs to happen and so on. And as I indicated on a number of occasions, it was very difficult to get cooperation from the municipal manager there. Obviously, the absolute, and this is what the National Minister of Cooperative Governance is looking at on legislative review. Should provincial government only go to an extent of invoking Section 139 when they have to correct issues in the municipality? Because this is a semi-autonomous, or let me say an autonomous sphere of government. It has to do things in terms of the existing legislation. Provincial government is expected to support a local government, but it is not expected to be the father who would give instructions to children. That's not how the laws of this country are structured. And maybe we only normally resort to this last resort when we see that things are getting bad in a municipality, that we decide that we will have to recommend to the Executive Council to invoke Section 139. If we were to look at Interbomfutanya in specific, I said the first thing was also to look at having to deal with their financial situation, stabilize the financial situation in the municipality, assist them to be able to deal with their immediate creditors. That's what is critical when you take over a municipality, because you don't want to be looking back, Jefferson, having to address matters of finances. The second one was for them, us working with the administration there and council to develop the new organogram, so that we can then be able to look whether the organogram is still relevant. How best can we be able to look at that and then request council to adopt an organogram? That has happened. Council has adopted an organogram in January. That's why positions were now advertised, so that we are then able to feel
the position. Normally, you give an opportunity to council to evaluate whether this organogram is still as expected. So that's part of it. That's the progress. That's why we can report to this house that in the following week, you will know that in terms of legislation, myself as the head of the department has to sit in all interviews where municipal managers and section system managers are appointed. So that's why I know that in the next week, we will be sitting to consider the appointment of those officials in Thabong Futsanyane, because the advertisement has closed, it has gone through its period of 30 days in dealing with this. And I think all of our members would know that we took this municipality over in November with basically now working with Putin systems in that municipality. We found the municipality also through going through a lot of litigation, and that's the process that we are going through now in terms of farmers I think that regional levy that the municipality was supposed to collect from farmers and so on, and then they actually built the farmers outside their area of jurisdiction, and now the farmers are litigating the municipality. Every time I get a bill of 2 million on my table, 600,000 on my, 2 million on my table. So I've gone back to God to go and defend this, because now we've taken responsibility to try and deal also with litigation matters and stabilize the municipality on some of those matters. Everybody now, the fact that we are there, must be able to legitimize their claims. We will not pay simply because we're getting a payment. We are working with administrators there to also develop areas that we have talked about, performance management system. We are busy working with him to develop Section 46 report. That should actually be submitted now, the end of February, with all other municipalities that have adopted their annual report and finalized their Section report, Section 46 report, including those that have been looked at by oversight report. So we are going through the normal motions of ensuring that the municipality is stable. We have sent officials there to support the administration. We have officials dealing with performance management, officials dealing with public participation. The legal advisor there is almost permanent in Thabong Futsanyane now, Mr. Daga, next to me here, assisting the municipality on matters of these litigations that I've referred to and other related matters, so that we are able to stabilize the municipality. So we are on the ground. We are working with this municipality to ensure that all other matters that we have prepared to post, the system compliance. We started now to comply on monthly basis in terms of reporting to both provincial treasury and our department on matters of finance, on matters of human resource. We have also ensured now that we are also even able to report on monthly basis to the MIG management component at National Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. Chairperson, I'm unable to provide details on where are we on this MIG funding, the 13.2 million. This by a phone call, if members insist, I can establish that information. Where are we? But I must indicate that there's progress in relation to this matter, and I've requested, because of our intervention, I have requested the National Department that they must actually give their indulgence until the end of the financial year of municipality, that is by the end of June, so that we are able to clean our house fully in Thabong Futsanyane on all this matter. So that is basically where we are, Chairperson. We are restoring that municipality, and then we are actually getting the necessary support from council, as I can say at the moment, and the administration. We have got full control of the administration of that municipality. Obviously, the MEC, I think, has referred to a number of issues around what politicians have been doing in that municipality. I think the issue of somebody, Honorable Bloom, Chairperson, asked whether
any person has been charged with corruption. I don't know whether it's about the boat workers and so on. Maybe I don't know whether it's about Tabong Fudanyana at the moment. I don't think there's any matter related to that chairperson. But the rest of other questions I have attempted to deal with that. Maybe we have not dealt in full on our monitoring processes, and I've attempted to do so to what the Honourable Member Mufugeng has asked around how long did these vacancies basically exist. As I said, they were stuck at in terms of the contracts of people ending. One individual there was appointed in the Shabe, who was the corporate services manager. One was appointed the municipal manager of Mafube local municipality, and so on. So there have been resignations, people appointed in other positions, moving from the area of Tabo Mfutanyana, but it became more serious when out of the three that were remaining, when we were looking at the other positions, the two critical ones, the MM and the CFO, were almost leaving at the same time. We are doing our responsibilities in terms of the applicable legislation to monitor, support municipalities. That's basically what we are doing on an ongoing basis, where we have to get reports and so on. And I've indicated, Chairperson, that we did issue the necessary instructions in terms of the applicable legislation. And when all things are done, you are basically faced with the situation where you need to take the municipality over. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. I'll give you the second chance. There's something that I wouldn't like to forget. In everything that is written and said on this district, there is too much leaning on officials than politicians. I don't understand really that this municipality was only based on administration. What is the contribution of political leadership of council in this matter? Because as I check, as I listen, it's like administration was running municipality alone. I just wanted this before I give others. Okay, Watson, Fugeni, Matila.
You really took the words out of my mouth because the MEC, who was then the municipal manager, says that everything that politically could be done by the politicians were done. And yet we're looking at the total failure. The report says the council was failing to execute executive obligations due to the failure of the municipality. Now, the executive functions and obligations are in the hands of the executive mayor and the politicians. And you can go through the whole report point by point, and you find that it's actually the politicians that failed to do their duty, and the stewardship of the politicians lie in the hands of the mayor. It says the executive mayor and the no performance agreement existed between the executive mayor and the municipal manager. That's the mayor's task, not the municipal manager's task, to see that is done. It's the appointment of the municipal manager is a political function. The oversight of the municipal manager is a political function. And the whole thing, the whole report, point by point, directly points to the fact that the political work was not done, and the municipality was just left to the administrators, of which two managers failed. And then we say, all right, no, it wasn't the politician's fault. It was the fault of the administrators. The Section 39 Municipal System Act determines that you must have a performance management system. The oversight of that must come through the politicians. The IPP must be enforced by the politicians. And all of these were not done, Chair. And I appreciate the work that the department is doing and the fact that things might look up in future. But we must not try and whitewash the fact that the politicians did not do their work because the mayor of the time is now the MEC. We must face facts and say politicians failed, and if we admit that, then we can carry on and fix the problem.
No, thank you, Chair. The report will not assist us to arrive at an informed decision because it lacks details. Like, for instance, in the
summary background. It says the conflict existed between the then municipality manager and the chief financial officer. The functions and responsibilities of those two functionaries is separate and distinct. What causes those conflicts so that the new appointees will be cautioned so as to avoid those conflicts that were committed by the municipality manager and the chief financial officer?
You see, Chair, I think my colleagues have dealt with some of it. But here, we are not informed as to what did the province do prior to November 2009. Because the province is supposed to assist, support, you know, give all those things. Now, before the mayor became an MEC, what did province do? We don't have that information. You see? And this is the point I raised earlier, that we're not informed about what has happened. We're not given details of what is happening now, you know, and what the future is for this particular municipality. And at this time that we have those details, we'll be able to have an informed, as my colleagues have indicated, Chair. Well, now I would ask the HOD, you know, not to play around with weight. Go directly into details. Give us information. Because you see, we will dismiss this report. Because to us it means nothing.
Okay. No, thanks, Chair. Let the Honorable finish that question and then we sum up and then so that we are able to remain taking decisions correctly. Honorable Nancy?
I'm also of the view that the summary is from what the members have said here, because this report is silent. It's silent on these issues. As a result, it tells us about that inflation. Literally, there's nothing that we can say about conditions, nothing we can say about what the department has done before, and now there's nothing, because I'm not convinced. In fact, I want the department to tell me, before they did this intervention, the people, because they wanted to see the appointments and other things taking place for the issue service delivery here. Because we can't be convinced because both have been advertised and they say, no, things are normal. Reports have been given. They can't be convinced. These reports that have been given, are these reports taking us towards the progress, towards development, towards assisting the people, towards, I mean, providing services to the communities of those areas? So I'm also agreeing with members that this report lacks information. We can never support such a report which is not clear, because it's not clear, it's just brushing on top of issues. I think we need more information so that we can be told now that the department is doing 1, 2, 3, 4. These are the time frame. This is what we have expected. The most probably there is not even appointed. And they are saying the situation is normal. How does the situation become normal having not seen the municipal manager in office working? Is their capacity enough to ensure that after they have gone out as the department, there will be nothing that forces them to go back? I think it's too early for the department to think about getting out of that municipality, because what they have gone to do there, it's not even, clear that they have achieved something. You cannot say yes, because to me, what is being said is that because there are advertisements, now it's enough, that progress. I don't think that is the issue. I think the issue is service delivery here. I think we must judge our actions yes. and our effectiveness
yes.
and progress in terms of the service delivered. Not in terms of employing individuals, but saying that we have done what we're supposed to be doing. So I fully support all these members who are saying this report is still lacking a lot of information and is going to mislead us. If on the basis of what is here we can take a decision, I think we need more information. I think what they have raised here, if that information can be combined, so that when we're meeting tomorrow again on this issue, we can get that information written down and packaged properly so that we can indulge with something that is here and written down. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, yes, my colleague, the last honorable member, has spoken. I just want to put it in this session. And I would like to agree with all my other previous colleagues speaking on politicians even have failed the people on the ground. If we read through this report properly, there's a sentence in this report that says the municipality has constantly failed. If the municipality constantly fails, the people elected the leaders, the elected leaders then, must also take the blame for the failing of the municipality because they are there to see to it that the service needs to be rendered to the people. One simple thing, Honorable Chair, the IDP plan. In this municipality, the sentence says there has also been no clear program to include rural communities in their program. That alone tells us there is no service delivery for the people because there is no on black and white telling us what did the community say. How far did they service the community? The service that they've rendered to the community. So I would put my voice to the honorable members that said, unless we can have more written information, we need to dismiss this report. Because it's no longer, we can't accept something like this, honorable chair. I'm honest with you. We can't. And the department must know when they come to the committee, they must come with facts on black and white and don't tell us things what they think we must know. We as a community, we are here to serve the people. We need to see.
Honorable,
thank you.
If you save your energy for others, we are still having three municipalities. I mean, two municipalities to spread views on.
No, thank you very much,
Chairperson. Chairperson, on page 9. It is very clear, you see, the MEC is saying that he was the MEC, he took over, he was the mayor. In 2006, he took over until 2006. You see, this paragraph is saying, section 46, Municipal Systems Act, the annual performance report. For 2005, 2006, 2006, 2007, and 2007, 2008 have not been adopted by council and not submitted to the MEC as required. 2006, 2007, he was the mayor at that time. Yeah. So I'm sure that he will respond to that. The issue on corruption that I have said, how many people were arrested for this thing? Page 11. The municipality consistently failed to supply the department with necessary. You know, it's only when people are hiding things that they will never produce documentary proof. There's corruption. And, you know, I am saying, Chairperson, we can't put money into a municipality that can cannot account for the funds. That is my two issues.
Thank you very much. Just before you respond, let me add, because I think we'll be wrapping up, to go to other municipalities. Page 4. It talks of municipalities cease to function. When a municipality ceases to function, I don't know what a correct dictionary interpretation of cease. Cease, you die. Something stops. I would just want to know why not section 139(1)(c). If something is dead, is chronic, it's not alive. It's sealed. There's no life there. The other thing, the very same application of section 139, seemingly, maybe this would need, it's a national challenge. Consistency in terms of application. Section 139(1)(a) talks of directive. What does it imply? Is it a precondition to section 139(1)(b) or something must happen at that level? Once these witnesses have been challenged. But this mind is just a general question that needs another forum. Precisely because in my view, the application of the very same section 139, I think in this national forum in which we clearly set up steps. Precisely because in this report, we would get a report that says, after given directives, the municipality did not comply on these directives, on this issue, and this issue, and this issue. Hence, assumption of responsibility. It is something that is lacking in my view. That's why I'm saying maybe it needs national thing, because you have this section 139, subsection 8, that says there should be a national legislation that guides implementation of section 139. I'm not sure in the province how do you do it. Equally, section 100, subsection 3, it needs national legislation that guides the steps, you know, precisely because you can arrest a weakness or illness at section 139(1)(a). But these things are not coming up here, including this report. The other issue here is it's the legacy prior to this report. What happened? I think I asked. Indeed, I would want to emphasize that municipality has got power that are vested, executive power and legislative is vested in council. So if administration is weak, it's like a head in a tail. What was the pain on the other side of the head when the tail is sort of injured, you know? Because you can't separate this at municipal level like province and national. The two are two sides of the same coin. Administrators and the politicians, one coin. So there's no way in which you can't feel pain. You have to feel pain and do something. Hence, we need to know what is the role of the other, like the question that is asked severally here. That is the core question in this district. I think we may not get clear answers there, but I think let's hear something. Present it to me, but we shouldn't waste time here. In the spirit of what the honorable has said, we are not going to adopt this report. We would want
the Honorable MEC and delegation to go and rework the report, but also to say if programming would agree with us, we go there. We don't only meet with the department, we meet with the stakeholders, because municipality belongs to the people. Till now we are only wake up on behalf of the people, so that we get clear understanding on what is happening in this municipality. And I think that in answering, I would also maybe, with the intelligence of the Honorable, maybe see if we can have a fact-finding mission,
yeah,
like we did other municipalities, so that when you express a view in the House, it's not a view of the briefing. It's the view that is evidence-based. Because this is the last House, it's the highest decision-making structure of the people. And if it's not evidence-based, then we'll be judged somehow. But also, what we're going to do there, we are not going to do there as wizard hunter. Witch hunter, no. We want to build the institution. I think that's basically what we need to do. We want to complement in the spirit of cooperative governance as we go there. Maybe if we could answer, and then we know those things, we close this one, and then we'll have a way forward later. Thank you. Can we get answer?
No, thanks, Chair. I think one will support such a move. It's a very progressive move. Because it has here also one gets a feeling that it will be as helpful if the committee can also have issues at first hand, as the chair said. I have said earlier on that if you go there, you'd find that the oversight, the reports, the council meetings have been held. There are resolutions in terms of direction. But my view is that you are only as good as your administration. If you take decisions, somebody must implement those decisions. And if those decisions are not implemented, indeed you'll be viewed as a failure. I think the report does not seek to paint a picture that politicians at that municipality are holier than the administration. It's not the aim of this report. It's just to alert and inform the members in terms of the state of that municipality. I think if members go there, they will be able to make their own view. Chair, I must indicate that the one issue that has actually led to this situation is that it was very difficult for the province to can come and assist at the level of the administration, because most of the time they will get a resistance from the municipal manager. I've indicated that it was not easy for the report to see the light to the council until they are demanded by politicians. One weakness I think one has to allude to is that the politicians took time to fire the municipal manager. I think that should be taken as a weakness. There has always been willingness. Hence, this municipality becoming the first to get under Section 139 to correct issues at that municipality. Politicians at that level have always seen issues as going astray. I may agree, Chair, that we never anticipated that the committee will need details in terms of what is happening in the municipality. Our view is that once we have a willing administration in terms of implementing the decisions that are there, the municipality will begin to find its routine. We may be ambitious in terms of maybe the 30th of June, that we can agree to.
But we haven't sent only one person at that municipality. We have sent our team to ensure that the information that we think is known and the information that is not known gets on the table, and we're able to find a correct direction. The issue of vacancies measured in terms of service delivery. If you don't have managers who are going to be able to move and deal with the program, equally so, our view is that you're not going to be able to progress to the level of efficiency we are talking about. The issue of ceased to provide information, to provide, to function effectively. What we meant is that I think effectively tries to explain the level at which services at that municipality. There are no managers as we speak. So the service delivery has collapsed. What we didn't see fit to get to the level of Section 139 as a department is that it was our view that once administration is up and running, there may be some progress in terms of how that municipality functions. We are ready to work together in terms of whatever information that is needed. But in terms of our view, there is some progress in terms of getting at least the information to the people who must decide what they do about that information, and appointing these tools of trade that we think will actually help the municipality going forward. Let me end by saying, Chair, I'm not here to come and try and distance myself from that municipality. In fact, before I took this decision of putting that municipality under Section 139, I was well aware of all these questions that might arise. But I thought the community, the needs of the community, service delivery being coming first. So I thought it was advisable for me to deal with the situation once and for all and correct what is actually not correct in that municipality. Because I think community comes first than me. And I want to believe that putting this municipality under Section 139 shows willingness on my part to deal with what is wrong in that municipality, and to carry the blame if one has to. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I think we've noted whatever we've noted. Are you still everything?
Yes, Chairperson.
They have not yet answered my question. How many people were arrested for corruption in this municipality?
One of member Bloom is not leaving the whole presence behind. Still with him. He's a member of that committee for law. No, Honourable Chairperson, there has not been any processes of investigations done at Tabamfutayana at the moment. As we deal with all these matters of litigation that we are evaluating and people that are also requesting us to make payments and they present invoices and so on, we might evaluate as to whether some of the payments that we'll be making are legitimate and so on, and may see whether it may be necessary to go through an investigation process. We have looked at the Auditor General's management letter for 2008-2009, which we are working comprehensively on. And the whole process, actually we have sent a senior member of staff in Tabamfutayana. One of our chief directors is the administrator there to try and show the willingness of the department to deal with this matter overall. So as soon as we have finalized our final processes with the Auditor General on the 209-208-209 management letter, we might be able to see whether there are any further in-depth investigations that we may have to do. But at the moment, that's not done yet. Thanks.
How do you report him to us
and say that there were ghost workers?
May I alert you of time? How can you have to come in by 11?
No, we agree. I'm just saying, in terms of this answer, how do you say to us there were ghost workers and then come back and say there was no corruption? No? Because nobody has been arrested. You detect that they are ghost workers. They are people that have been paid who are not in the employ of the municipality. Then you come and give us this type of an answer. Is that the next municipality? Oh, no, sure. No, I'll deal with it next. I'm just saying, if you said there were ghost workers, what do you do with it?
I fully support that you have said that we must visit that area. I fully support. But I want to add something else. We must institute a forensic investigation into that municipality in the process. We will go there unannounced. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think that the major concern has been requested by HOT, that we are not happy. And then we are coming and make sure that all stakeholders are available, including Sarima was supposed to be here. I don't know whether we told Sarima or invite them, but they must be part of it so that this matter is all included. Can we now come to Masiru here? No question on Masiru?
No, Chair. I think the point has been raised. Maybe if we get some answers there.
Any other questions? Just to so that we.
The both workers have one. In fact, on that page, I think it's almost the same as that one.
Yeah.
Because there's no information. Both workers have been finalized. How? But I think that question stands. How it has been finalized? Were people arrested? Or what happened? If they were not arrested, they were ghosts. It means they were pickpocketing from the public tax money. What happened to that money? Has it been taken back to the public, or what happened? I think the question will be the same, that in fact, what the department is trying, I think they are trying a lot, but they are not informing us. There is a lack of information, because they must tell us. This is what has happened in terms of the ghost worker. In fact, what I've looked at why they did that section 139 and why they want to invoke you now is still the same as the one before. I mean, the one that was fired. Because of the reports and other things, these things have not been effective practically. Because I'm worried about the way that we measure our performance. If we measure our performance in terms of advertising, employing people, I think I'm worried. Because I think our performance should be measured in terms of self-deliver.
Yeah.
When we deliver the services to the poor people, then we can say, because they are able to access water and other services that they need, then we are able to say, at least we are doing what we're supposed to be doing. But by appointing people in the offices, when we are doing that, I'm worried about their measuring too. I think it lacks content. If it ends only on the issue of appointing or advertising, I'm worried a little bit about that. I think we need more information. They might have done a lot, but because they are not informed in detail, we might be talking like this.
until we've got more information, even on this one, I think we are able to say, I was to propose that we do the same, you know, till there's more information, then we can move forward.
Honorable Bloom?
I want to support the proposal that even this, the other two reports, we shelve it, we don't adopt that, those two reports, the three reports, and we will go on to a visit so that we must get more information. I want to concretely support the proposal.
Honorable Watson?
Yeah, I agree. We must go and visit. We must find out. But I just want to know, in view of the paperwork before us, let's hear the thing about the ghost report, but also, how does the department, the province, allow a municipality to have its debtors grow to 129 million. To me, that it's an exorbitant figure. You know, and the creditors that they can't pay is now 10 million. So they, if they had collected their money, they would have had 119 million in the bank. They could have given the best service in the whole country if they only collected their debts. How does that happen? That the province allows the small municipality to let their debtors run up to 129 million. So there was no system in place on how to collect the service fees and the revenue, etc., etc.
Okay.
Chair,
okay.
The same way, and this question has not been answered previously. What did the province do? What did the province do in that period to assist these municipalities? You see? Now, because you have asked it in the previous municipality, it was not answered. I'm asking it in this municipality. In actual fact, I want to agree with my colleagues here that these three municipalities were not going to adopt anything until we have information, because the province must answer. You know, what support did they give? Did they give to these municipalities? What did they do in that process? You know, yeah, because that is not coming out, and the HOG is just running away from that question.
No, any other question? After this, we close. We go to the other one. Just before they respond, maybe just a brief idea in terms of Section 154 of the Constitution. Precisely because we dare to say this, Honorable MEC, because when you take over, you take the liability and just doesn't whatever. You don't say I was not there. that is the good part of deployment. You know, it's like there was Section 154 did not feature. If it features, when you look at the state of this municipality, it's like they are still at the establishment order of 2001 to enter. If you get just, if that is the first question that Honorable Matthew has said, what did the province do before this action would be taken? If we could get that one, because there is commendations that all three reports be treated the same as the system. Be noted, and then we just spend a week in Free State as a committee.
Yes.
That's that. Honorable.
Yeah, we are closing it, yes, Chair.
Okay, but also, as we go there, I would want them to also prepare decisions of the provincial executive in written form, the basis of the ABC writing to vote. Those decisions, we must also have them so that we are able to politically engage at other levels. Like where you are saying the provincial executive is taking this decision, you could have a resolution number or decision number, whatever,
that page in written form so that we are able to satisfy, to see indeed that the province is also engaging and serious in terms of doing dealing with these minor policies. And so we can just conclude by just answering those that are answerable. Those that are not answerable, then you will have to go and make a research. Go and make a research and prepare our visit there.
No, thanks, thanks, Chair. I thought earlier on I attempted to highlight what we have been doing in terms of all these areas that we have highlighted here, and the honourable member indicated that I was speaking English. The fact of the matter is that we have
highlighted... Chair, point of order. I think he...
Yes, I think you will withdraw because he...
Yeah, that's on the point of order because you have not been answered.
I'm very honorable, Matira. The first happened is our group for now, our chair. I will only on behalf make him to withdraw because that is an expression that the ABC can engage as a politician. And as an HOD, we just need all those technical answers. Not the expression that we will invoke emotion.
Let me withdraw, Chair. Unconditionally and proceed. I indicated that maybe if let me not go back to Tabong Tuzayana and talk to Matilonya, as members have asked now in terms of what is it that practically the department has done up to where we are now in relation to this municipality. The first one is this debt was escalating in a bad way, because the municipality did not have water meters. First part that we did was in almost all its five towns. That's in Tennessee, Brantford, Southbourne, Windberg, and Pretoria. We had to ensure that there are the services are not paid in terms of a flat rate, so that we are able to put the water meters and municipality to arrest the escalation. The people who are using the resources of the municipality, and they are not able actually to pay for those resources. So we have to ensure that we are able to put meters. We work with the DBSA.
You see, Chair, he's giving us an answer of after November. We are asking us, what did the department do before November? You see, and that's why I'm calling him to order. There's no English here.
Okay, Chair, this is the before November information. Maybe
there. If it's allowed.
Oh, will you order if it's allowed? No, it's
because... Okay, order then, Chair. Chair, yes, the department manager. But it might be a little bit of waste of time because we need that information returned down. I would advise why, because as the department is talking, we'll be interested to raise other things. Why is it not wise for the department to go instead of answering us now here and prepare this information and write it down, and we'll be provided with that information as a matter of fact, so that when we sleep tonight, we sleep over it, so that when we meet tomorrow, if we're meeting with them tomorrow, we are able to ask further, and then the department can further clarify on what is written down. Because what you will say now here, if it's not written down, we will ask it again tomorrow. That will be the problem. Thank you.
Is that the feeling of the house?
Yes, that's the feeling of the whole house, including myself, Chairperson.
Support. All right, in conclusion, we would like to thank the department for having availed themselves with their telephone information to help. It will also help the committee to prepare the areas of interest as we go to engage with the municipality, the province, and the stakeholders at a time in which the committee secretary will have to arrest with all the recommendations that were said. We believe that we'll get, even before we got the written response of the detailed information that is lacking from the members, we know that there will be at no stage will we have 100% perfect report in any way, in any quarter. But at least those that are requested would really want the department to go and prepare for that. But also to say, it's important that as the committee of SOP, before we can even express a view, because the Constitution says we must express a view in terms of Section 139 within 180 days, we would want to do that, having all information that is necessary, so that we are not misleading the House. We don't want to be a compliance committee. We want to be a committee that is informed by issues on the ground. That's because we can say, no, we've met, we write a report, we just comply, as if the committee is working very well. We don't want to be that type of a committee. We want to be in a committee that deal with issues. And in dealing with issues, we would follow the Constitution to the letter. We are guided by the Constitution. That's why we are also able to see the weakness of our own legislation, even in terms of the Section 139. Not the weakness that the department has done. The weakness of the legislation itself, the applicability and all sorts of things. So some of these issues would know that indeed they need another forum in order to strengthen the approach in the country, not only in the Free State, on how we apply Section 139. Maybe these are just a few remarks that I would want to make to say we thank you very much. We are serious. We've been told that we must be an activist parliament. We are trying to live to that, to be the very same activist parliament, but not a parliament of derogative ways. By all approaches, try to confine our language within legislation. Even if we are highly charged with anger, we must be within the legislation, the language that we are using should be within the legislation, because this is the country's parliament. I want to thank you very much and say, arrive alive. Thank you. Can we get Houghton in? Honorable Punta, where do you want to run to?
No, I'm
Cooperative governance and traditional. I'm with the honorable members of the committee who will introduce themselves, starting from the first. What's it?
Thanks, Chair. My name is Chetan Mufuking. I'm the member of the committee.
Yes, my name is Wadi Watson. I'm the DA representative from Mpumalanga.
Good morning, sir. My name is Dennis Bloom, and I'm from the Free State.
Good morning once again. I'm Tom Gunda. I'm from the Northern Cape, the hottest province.
Good morning, I'm Boni Serenesi from the Eastern Cape, member of the committee.
My name is Lewin Zmanda from the Choi Sumsunduzi, the city of the heritage.
In the morning I was listening to the news about the city of Choi, but I won't say much.
Tumba Matila from Gauteng. No, from Tshwane.
Thank you. I will then allow the delegation from Gauteng to introduce themselves, and then our colleagues at the back, so that Gauteng must know who is here.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My name is Mongezi Nyami. I'm the acting head of department for the Gauteng Department of Local Government and Housing. My colleague, Melissa, Tule is just going to get coffee, but it's only the two of us. And I'm here to represent based on the letter that was sent to us. The apologies from the NEC. You were supposed to be here, but you sent a written apology. Unfortunately, there's some other executive council matters that he has to attend to today in preparation for an ex-colleague who is starting tomorrow. Thanks.
There we are. Can our colleagues up there also make that introduction? From Auditor General.
My name is Sarah Hetherington. I'm the editor of Delivery Magazine.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Kabel Matisa. I'm the manager in the Auditor General's office.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Langa. I'm from PMG.
This is John Ponisela from Committee Section.
Tisan Muchumi from Committee Section.
Mudise Kavedi, Communication Services from Parliament.
I'm Malunga Rupoi,
I'm a reporter for Eyewitness News. I'm Malunga Rupoi from Eyewitness
News. Malunga Rupoi from Eyewitness
News. Malunga Rupoi. From Eyewitness News.
Oh. Welcome. But before we start, I want to express a disappointment. Just the two of you coming to a great parliament, really, it's not all. We must express that the Gauteng department must take this committee very seriously. And we want you to go and pass this expression to the MEC. It must be on record that it's not right. So we will listen to you, but really we want a delegation, not one or two people against a committee. It's not correct. Thank you very much. You can go on.
No, Chair, I think we agree with what you're saying. I think the point that we must also raise that it is not the HOD that accounts to this committee, it's the MEC. And therefore, it will be important for the MEC to account to politicians, you see. But I agree that we'll continue to listen to the report. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Chairperson,
No, I fully agree with what you have said and my comrade there. Chairperson, can we have the reasons why the MEC is not available today? He has said that there's a letter that has been sent to the committee. Can we maybe find out what is the reason?
Chair, when the letter was received from the committee, unfortunately, already the MEC had commitments which we could not shift in the diary. So we tried our level best. Unfortunately, starting from tomorrow, our executive council is having an extended hold with all municipalities in order to shape up the program for the 2010 in this financial year. So since last week, we've been working on this program, and then today they're preparing final preparations for those presentations and everything that must go to the ex-co. So that is why I could not actually attend.
All right, let's note, we will engage MEC when we meet him. I think we would want him face to face. You know, because really we cannot allow this tendency to go on and on and on. The committee must not be taken for a ride. Yes, we can go on with it.
Chairperson, thank you very much. We have received a letter that said you must come and brief you on the interventions, specifically on Section 139, subsection 5A, in terms of our intervention in the municipality. And we are under the impression, therefore, that Chairperson, the committee is aware of previous interventions that we've done in that municipality. But safe to say that before we go to the presentation, is that in Gauteng, this is not the only municipality where we're doing such interventions previously. Not only just on Section 139, but also just dispersing our responsibility as a department in terms of making sure that we support and monitor the performance of our local authorities. We have started a program whereby we're looking at the financial capacity and the financial capability of our municipalities in Gauteng, looking at what debt do they have in their books, and looking at exactly who owes them, so that we are therefore able to actually clean that debt. But again, our analysis was that the billing integrity of various municipalities leaves much to be desired. Therefore, they are able to collect as much as they can, and that on its own has resulted in them having strenuous relationships with their indigent, strenuous relationships with some of the people that are getting services from them. But also, we felt that we can't just sit down as a province. Let's do some intervention in terms of revenue collection improvement. So what we did then was to work with various organizations, including our provincial treasury, to go into those municipalities and assist them with basic intervention. So what we're presenting here today, Chairperson, is as a result of a presentation we made to the Executive Council meeting somewhere in July last year, whereby we presented a strategy, and that strategy is what basically we're presenting here today. So we'll be taking you through in terms of how far we've gone in that regard. Chair, the report that we're presenting here today, we've given you two reports. The one that I'm presenting is a summary of the detailed report, which is in an MS way, but we just, for the sake of presentation, we are using the PowerPoint presentation. But there is a report that is before you, which is an MS way. The report, Chairperson, is structured to provide the progress, as I said, in terms of Section 139 of the Constitution for the municipality of Nogay. The recovery plan has been implemented by a team of officials, Chair, from the Housing Department of Local Government and our Housing Department of Finance. We work as a team. Nelly Siwe, who is here with me, she's part of that team and heading that team. And that team basically passed in that municipality to make sure that things are getting right. We also have qualified accountants from SAICA who are actually deployed into that municipality to make sure that indeed they transfer skills and that municipality becomes right. But we'll talk about these interventions, Chairperson, whether they're successful or not. But you will see that we're still having a long way to go around these interventions, even if we are trying to put as many officials from the provinces, defense departments, and also from other stakeholders that have got the specific expertise. So we're still facing some few challenges there and there.
The team that we've put together covers the following areas of work: our finance management, risk, internal control, legal, governance, and institutional reform, transformation. Well, these are the areas that we have identified when we did the assessment that the municipality is very weak in these areas, hence they are unable to perform to the satisfactory of their constituencies. There's been severe financial challenges due to the non-payment of services. There's poor collection of data, balances outstanding for the past 5 years, some 10 years, poor cash flow management that they can't manage on a month-to-month basis, and therefore they find themselves unable to pay their creditors, but also unable to pay for basic services that they're supposed to be providing to the community. Poor internal control, there's no risk management, it's non-existent, and an unbalanced budget in terms of realistic estimated revenue. So they can't even estimate how much they'll collect when. And therefore, that makes it difficult for them to plan ahead, precisely because, one, they have not been able to manage their finances properly. They have not been able to have a proper billing system. So there is no basis to say, on a monthly basis, this is where I'm providing services, therefore I must be able to collect X amount of money. That has been a challenge. But we'll talk about other legal challenges that the municipality has faced from the Ratepayers Association in that part of the world. As I've said, Chairperson, that the Executive Council in Gauteng resolved that the province must evoke provision of Section 139 to restore financial stability of the municipality. Hence, therefore, we have that team that has been working there. We have a political team that is led by the MEC for Local Government and MEC for Finance, whereby also they requested National Treasury through their Treasury Municipal Finance Recovery Services to assist the province in preparation of the financial recovery. Because they are experts. This is what they normally do to all the municipalities. So we felt that they must also come on board and be able to help us in that regard. The financial recovery plan has been informed, amongst others, by the status quo assessment based on the report prepared by the Treasury Section, working jointly, of course, with ourselves and also with officials from the Department of Finance. So, Chair, this recovery plan, basically we did an assessment and they wanted to check what I've just said now to say, is the municipality in a better position to make any recovery? Is the municipality having systems in place? And we found that these things are non-existent in most cases. The summary key findings from the analysis of the municipality revealed the following, Chair. The actual cash book balance for as of 30 June 2009 was overdrawn by an amount of 8.9 million. The cash position of the municipality has been negative for at least the last two financial years. The municipality has used unspent conditional grants to fund operating expenditure, and we found this chairperson to be quite unacceptable because the grants are meant for specific interventions. They are meant for specific services, and therefore, if the municipality, the officials and everybody else there will be able to utilize that money for salaries, that is a problem on its own. The credit control is not properly applied, vigorously resulting in the current payment level of about 58%. And trade creditors at the year end amount to 24.7 million as at 30 June 2009. The water and the electricity regulation losses for 2009 were standing at 27% and 16% respectively. And these are significant and need to be addressed because that is where they're losing a lot of money. The municipality received a disclaimer audit opinion from the AG on 2067 and also 78, and a qualified audit opinion on 089. And Chair, that qualified audit opinion is precisely because also of some of the interventions that came from the team, because we work with them in order to make sure that indeed their financial statements are far much better than what they were before as part of Operation Clean Audit. So we have been having also a team that is looking also to make sure that municipalities have got a clean audit. So this one, that at least where it comes from and where it is now on the 208-09, we believe therefore that going forward on 9 and 10, they might actually get a clean bill of health, but we're working towards that. Also, there was a non-alignment of the IDP to the budget. There was also inability to implement effective credit control measures due to the disputes with the Dinokeng and Cullinan Landowners Association. Assessment raised as of January 2010 amounts to 56.2 million, and this represents 37% of the total outstanding consumer debt. Chair, this has been a long outstanding legal battle
with the association, and the association has been very adamant. They went to court, the municipality lost the case, and as a province now, we're trying to intervene through other legal means in order to make sure that this matter becomes resolved, because this is one of the consumers of the municipality services. But as you can see, that how much they owe the municipality. So they collect money. The money does not go to the municipality, but it's paid somewhere else by all of them, but they're not actually transferring the money to the municipality. And we believe, therefore, that there has to be other extraordinary intervention, and this is what basically is now taking place on the advice of our legal department. There was also a lack of actual registration of all possible indigenous households. It's not only this municipality, but we found that across municipalities, their indigenous registers are not updated. You don't know who's consuming your services, whether indeed qualify for an indigent or not. And as a result, the intervention that we're doing now, we're working with our social department that is providing grants to make sure that indeed there's a balance between their data on indigent and what the municipalities use as an indigent. So this is one strategy that we're utilizing across the municipalities. But it's going to take a while, Chair, to clean that system, given that now we've had a recession and a number of people have also now been unemployed. They've been retrenched, so that on its own has put more strenuous resources to the municipality. And of course, poor cash flow management, that also was highlighted. I've talked about unrealistic revenue budgets that do not actually reflect the actual payment levels by debtors. Significant water distribution losses, and also insufficient oversight by the council. We found also that there's a lot of squabble between politicians, which also reflects in the officials themselves. That we find that the municipal manager, I'll talk more about that, and the CFO also is also in the scheme of things. So we found also that the council did not actually assist also in us implementing the recovery plan. Because if indeed they were fully supportive of it, we could be far by now. But we found out that in most instances we can't implement some of the things, but we must wait for the council's decision, and that is beyond our control. We can't do anything. If there's no council resolution, if they can't take a decision, it's them that must take that decision. But as a province, we can gain so much in terms of our intervention. And of course, poor expenditure management and lack of internal controls and risk management. Progress to date, these are just to showcase that indeed we've put a lot of effort. We've tried to do as much as we can from our side as a province, not just from local government, but as I've put finance and also other stakeholders. The compilation of a realistic and credible budget, because if they don't have that, it's difficult to plan. The budget adjustment process is underway as we are talking, Chairperson. The task team has completed the budget and to be presented to the portfolio committee on the 18th of February, and then to the council for approval on the 25th. And we're hopeful, therefore, that Chairperson, that will be approved and there won't be any delays in that regard, so that we don't actually have to find ourselves now with the task team having to wait for the council to make its decision. The new budget, Chair, is based on the realistic anticipated revenue. In addition, the adjustment budget will ensure that expenditure on affordable costs will be cut by almost 50%, but we have identified certain areas where we can cut expenditure, especially within their internal processes, especially within the administration. There are certain things that can be cut that we believe that are a luxury towards the municipality, and therefore those things can be done away with. And we believe, therefore, that if there's a support from council, those things can actually be implemented. If you have done it in the province to cut some of the nice things to have, why not a municipality? The development of a revenue enhancement strategy that improves the current payment level. This is also across the province, but even here, we are implementing that enhancement revenue strategy. We have developed this, and it has been implemented as part of the strategy that's there, and we believe that it will increase the municipal revenue and reduce the debt owed to the municipality through data cleansing, indigenous profiling, rigorous debt collection, in partnership, of course, with the private sector investors. All those private sector investors who are there in that part of the region, they are willing to pay. But as long as the municipality is still having some of its own challenges internally, that on its own inhibits them to actually pay or start paying in that regard. Implementation of our VAT review as an alternative revenue stream. In 2008-09, the municipality undertook their review, and a claim of $4 million was paid in December. The department is supporting to undertake a review for the 4 years before 2009, and this will bring in much less revenue to the municipality. We believe that they might have not actually calculated their review on back mainstreaming properly. And we believe, therefore, that through the work that we are doing now with some of the financial experts that we have gathered, they can be in a position to recover more. Matching of the valuation of all properties with properties on the municipal finance system. The properties on the municipal finance system have been updated to match those on the valuation roll. This will ensure that all consumers of the municipal services and all property owners are billed correctly so. Because we believe that if you don't employ or you don't actually implement the municipal property rates act, therefore the municipality will not be in a position to collect where they're supposed to be collected. So this is one area that we feel that if implemented properly, the municipality can be able to recover some of the money that comes from the valuation that has been done. But most important, Chairperson, is to have the correct valuation so that you know that exactly the people that you are billing them on the correct valuation of those properties that they own in that area. Because if you don't do that, there's also going to be again antagonistic towards them paying for their properties. So we believe, therefore, that this process must be treated quite sensitively. But again, the municipality must be fair and transparent in how they actually implement this system. The collection of debtors, the municipality is currently implementing a 50-50 area debt write-off incentive scheme, which is aimed at increasing collection rates, and we believe therefore that the benefits will be seen more clearly end of February or December, January, generally low on payment. In addition, the 1,200 debtors have been extracted, and the debt collection team are focusing on the collection of these debtors. So as I've said, we've done what is called the cleansing on the data. So now we know exactly who are the 100 debtors. Yeah. It might be unfair to go for the 100, but we believe that they owe a lot of money to the municipality. But again, if indeed you start collecting from them, the municipality can find itself being able to be in a far much better position financially. The plan to decrease water and electricity losses, two site engineers and site consultants were working together to determine the current electricity and water distribution losses, and they are putting a plan together to address this challenge. They are also assisting with ensuring that the municipality is cost-effective in their water and electricity transactions. The management of financial commitments and cash flow expenditure control. A cash flow model has been developed, which is aimed at a constant review of the municipality's cash flow. The idea is first to look at what is in the bank, make a forecast with regards to the future revenues in the same month, and then curtail expenditure to what is available. The municipality is currently not fully utilizing the model to cancel their expenditure spending. Spending is still happening even though there is no money. And this, for us, Chairperson, is quite a serious issue. Because now the municipality would expect a bailout from the province because that has happened previously. Precisely because they can't even pay for salaries for workers. And therefore, we felt that as a province, we have to intervene in that regard. But if indeed that support and that control are not being fully implemented by the municipality, we feel that they are actually going to go back into the same situation. In addition, the legal team of the legal team is actually reviewing the contract that the municipality have with various service providers. Also, we found out that some of these contracts that they have with service providers do not bring any value to the municipality. There's no value for money. And they can't actually get out of those contracts, and therefore we're assisting them now to actually get out of those contracts. Resolutions of the rates fair associate disputes, as I said, a plan has been developed to engage the association outside of the court. The plan is awaiting approval from the municipality, admin, and political leadership, and then after that, the team will engage the ratepayers in order to make sure that we understand and be able to see whether indeed we can be able to sort out this matter outside of court, because as I've said previously, the municipality has lost the case against the ratepayers association. Therefore, we believe that we can be in a position to put some negotiation, but we believe that the plan that we have developed, it will entice the ratepayers association, because we're not demanding that they must pay all the amount at a go, but there has to be a structured way to say how therefore do they pay what is owed to the municipality. Institutional matters, the performance agreement of all managers will be reviewed to incorporate activities and output milestones provided in the detailed action plan. of the financial recovery plan. The risk plan has been developed, but also, Chairperson, we have just recently, from the 1st of February, deployed one of our DDGs from the department to act as a municipal manager, because we believe that if you don't have a core team, starting from the municipal manager to the finance department, especially the CFO, we won't be in a position to implement some of these decisions that we have taken or the plan that we have taken. So we have seconded one of our DDGs. She has started working from the 1st of April. We are now looking at the entire management of the municipality, what is there to say, who else must be redeployed or what action must be taken against any of those officials. Well, as I've said, we believe that somehow, especially the top management, there is no pulling together. Some are pulling this way, and therefore, in most instances, there's an untenable situation between the then MM and the CFO. But we believe also that the CFO might not have the appropriate skills. Hence, that we have, in our discussion with the municipality, looking at what can be done to solve that situation of the CFO in order to make sure that we've got a proper finance division. In terms of accurate financial statements and clearance of outstanding audit queries, the report of 08-09 has improved, as I've said, from a disclaimer to a qualification due to the intervention through OPCA that we've done as a JOBEC. Of course, it was implemented with a partnership with the City of Johannesburg. And as I've said, this will continue on the 09-10 audit, and we believe that we can be able to improve in that regard. Lastly, Chair, is that the challenges that relate in the main is due to the lack of cooperation by the municipality in timely implementing their part. We can do so much as a province, but if, for instance, as I said, the council is unable to take some decisions speedily, that will affect our own plan that we have drafted as a department. And this has got a negative impact on the successful implementation of most of the interventions, even when agreed with the municipal management. To this effect, the timeline of the recovery plan has had to be adjusted in order to actually make sure that this matter is really indeed taken into account. So, Chair, so far, this is how far we've gone. And as a department, we report this matter on a monthly basis or quarterly basis, progress report to the Executive Council. So the report that I'm giving you here is also going to go to the Executive Council so that they are able to take other interventions or been able to take other measures that they feel are still lacking from the side of the team. So the team is also accountable to the Executive Council. And I think on that note, Chair, I must thank you.
No, thank you very much for your presentation. And I would like, I don't want to comment prior, I don't want close comments. I would want members of the committee to express their comments, clarity and whatever, but thank you for that presentation. Watson?
Chair, this municipality lies near to my heart. The reasons for the financial problems, I'm not sure that this report tells us exactly how it was arrived at. Let me give you one example, which is not disclosed, and that's in fact the I would actually say the illegal application of municipal funds. My information is that. For instance, when the new municipality was elected and the mayor took office, despite the objections of the opposition parties, two mayoral vehicles were purchased for the mayor, the Audi A4 and the Mercedes-Benz. The real reason behind it was that the Audi was actually intended for the speaker to use, which is totally illegal. There is no such provision. But nevertheless, The mayor used the Mercedes and the speaker used the Audi until there was a fight between the speaker and the mayor, and then the speaker was disallowed to use the Audi. In the meantime, the mayor has crashed the car, or somebody crashed it, I'm not sure who drove it, but the Mercedes was written off. And now the mayor refuses to use the Audi because the speaker sat in that back seat. That Audi is now used for delivery purposes in the municipality, a very expensive car. And to be able to give a car to the mayor, the municipality is bankrupt and therefore cannot even get financing for the vehicle. So they are now renting on a daily basis from rent a car, budget rental, a car for the mayor, which works out at about 50,000 rand a month. Now we've seen all the press statements about the expensive cars of the ministers. Not even one of them costs 30,000 rand a month. I don't know how the department can sit here and say they are investigating when abnormal things like this are not brought to our attention. Willful expenses by the politicians there that are totally illegal and unlawful. So I want them to please explain to me to what extent they've investigated the misappropriation of public funds in that municipality. Secondly, and I am not going to waste all the time on my questions, but I have many. Secondly, I want to ask if in their interaction with the municipality they have talked to all the politicians. Have they asked the opinion or the views of the opposition who sit there seeing what has happened but get outvoted in the council every time? My third question goes to the dispute with the ratepayers and the I think it's the agricultural section in that area because that one organization, TLU, is very, very, very active there. And if there was a dispute and the court ruled in their favor, this whole report talks about getting the money. It doesn't talk about how the dispute is resolved. Why was there the dispute? Is it because of the services not rendered? Why did the court find in their favor if there was not something wrong with the services rendered or that they were perhaps charged for services that were not rendered at all? The last question, Chair, is about the appointment by the department of an acting municipal manager. I've searched the laws and I don't claim to be an expert on everything, but in the Constitution, in terms of Section 139, I cannot find where, when there's an intervention, the department in the province can appoint an acting municipal manager. If they intervene, they must appoint an administrator, not an acting municipal manager. The laws governing local government state very clearly that the municipal manager can only be appointed by the council. The council has no say whatsoever in this appointment. So if we could have that explanation. Those are my few questions at this stage. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm not sure if I've heard the presenter correctly. Are you saying this program has started almost 10 years ago? Because I think in terms of your presentation, that's what you indicated, you know, so that we can trace back all these problems.
Honorable Chair, just allow me to ask the question on this. As I probably heard what my colleagues have said, and Honorable Watson has said, my main concern also here is, if you check on the key problems identified, the department said the cash of positions in the municipality has been negative for at least the last two financial years. If that's the case, then we really need then proof and what Honorable Watson has said, the department must come and tell us and show them what are they doing. And then the other thing is, Honorable Chair, there's another one here. The non-alignment of the IDP to the budget. What is the department doing there? Chair, it comes back to the same thing like this morning. Service delivery. And I read through their problems is that people are not paying for their services and all that. But if people are not paying for their services and the mayor is driving around them in a hired car that costs the municipality 30,000 in the month, and then the question comes to us, who is more important here, the people or the officials or the mayor? And then the other thing is, can the department really show us the poor cash flow of this management here? Let the department come with papers so that we can see for ourselves as members, so that we can speak to those things, Honorable Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, to follow up the key problem identified, I see that the paper is saying that the actual cash book balance is an overdrawn amount of 8 million rand. I want to know what are they doing? Further explanation on this issue. Are you investigating or whatever? Then the next page is saying the municipality has used unspent conditional grant funding to fund operational expenditure. Can you explain what did they do with this money? Thank you.
Sorry.
Chair, my colleague Neri would also help because she's spending quite a lot of time in that municipality also. Chair, the issue of the legal application of funds, we've made it very clear that it's one thing that we've picked up in the municipality. And we believe, therefore, that the intervention that we're putting is to put a stop to what we've picked up as a problem. And the team that we've put, both the accountants from SAICA and from our finance department, are helping the municipal officials create proper internal control. But if you don't have internal control, this type of a practice will actually continue to happen. And this is one of the issues that we've picked up in the assessment that was done, but the plan that we've put in place, it says intervention must be made seriously when we have to look into the finance, plus also the internal control of the municipality, so that this sort of practice does not occur. Okay. On the issue of the vehicles, I don't think I'm going to comment further on that, but what we've done in that regard, we have asked the municipality to discontinue using such a car. And we were looking at another car that the mayor can utilize. That was our recommendation, because this was one of the contracts. In my presentation, I said the municipality has got certain contracts with certain service providers that is unable to get out because they are binding themselves. And what we're trying, therefore, to do is to help the municipality to get out of that situation. Hence, we put our legal team together with experts from outside to review all these contracts and see how, therefore, can we assist the municipality to get out of that situation. Then the issue of the car, we have said that the mayor must downgrade to a normal car that can be found in that part of the municipality. Secondly, we said we can also help through our G-Fleet as a provincial government and see if you can't get a car there. This is what we're working on now with the new SC municipal manager in that regard, in order to help them in that situation, because we view that hiring a car for about 25,000 rand was a lot of money. And we said they need to take that car back. And then we said we'll put these interventions in the meantime. Last week when we spoke to the new municipal manager, we were still negotiating a better rate and a better car with G-Fleet, which is a government-owned institution in Gauteng. So this is what we're basically trying to do to help them in that regard. We are also doing an investigation. And I'll ask them to speak more on the part of the investigation, because we have formulated what needs to be investigated, and we are putting the team together to do proper and detailed investigation. I'm not going to comment on the opinion of other politicians in the chamber. We don't sit in the chamber. We will put issues to the mayor and to the executive. They are the ones who took things to the executive, to the council. But whether the council they agree or they disagree, it's beyond our control. But we do things up to a certain level. But if issues come to a house and there's disagreement, there's way of how things have been agreed upon, it's beyond my control in my capacity as HOD. But
we do influence the mayor on what route to take regarding some of these interventions that we're talking about. So I might not be in a position to know whether any other opinion has been solicited from other politicians, but we work through the mayor's office in this regard and the mayor. I'm sure you're quite aware about the dispute with the Red Tears Association, that it comes from a long way. And I have a summary of the court case here, or the outcome thereof. It's just that we're not asked to put all the annexa, but we can do those annexa documents and be able to give to the committee and give them to the coordinator of the committee, all the annexa, so that you can be able to read the papers or whatever that has been said in that regard. The appointment of the MM is not been appointed by the municipality. It's been seconded from our department. We are still paying the salary from our side as provincial government. But the matter was taken to council. There was a council resolution that agreed that the person be seconded until next year, which is 2011. So we are still paying. We did not appoint anybody else, but we felt that let's bring in somebody from outside. And we believe that somebody got expertise in that regard because of a previous experience as being a municipal manager of one of our municipalities. So she is still paid for by the department, all the expenses, the salary and everything. Some of the debtors members is that when we did the cleaning up, we picked up that some of the accounts are very much old. As a result, you can't even trace the history thereof. As a result, the municipality does not even know who is who in those debtors that have been owed to them. And therefore, the issue was to say, let's clean that information so that we have credible data. So that's where we have to start, to say, these are the people that we found in the system. Are they credible? Are they not credible? So that at least we have now clean data that you can do as your reference point as a municipality. The non-alignment to the IDPs is that we have found out that the IDPs are there, but the budget that the municipality has is now all of a sudden reversed. It's not aligned to the original IDPs that were approved. And we say this is one thing that needs to be corrected going forward. Our IDP unit now is working with the team to actually correct that situation, because we found it very much anomalous that you approve IDPs and there's some budget linked to that IDP. And that budget is some of the key service delivery issues, like your maintenance, like another thing that needs to be taken into account in that regard. And of course, there's a poor cash flow, because you have people that don't have skills in that municipality. Hence, the team is coming in to actually train them, take them along. But again, the brief that you've given to the municipal manager that you've seconded now is to say the first area that you must intervene on is the finance division. Because we believe that even if you can train people, you can train them, but if they don't take those tools quite seriously, you might as well just not intervene in that regard. So what we've said, therefore, and what we're putting to the mayor and the team is to say for us to intervene, there has to be an overhaul of the entire finance department. And we're saying the CFO is the first person that must be looked into, because we believe that we have been able to create more problems than actually solving problems. So the issue of saying there's poor cash flow, if you know for a month that you are going to collect 5 million, why do you have to spend 10 million then? That is poor cash flow management.
Yeah.
And that's what has been happening. So you can't spend more than what you can really collect. There has to be stringent measures on what therefore you need to do to actually control. And as I've said, internal controls are quite important. So what we've picked up, that's why we say you must balance, to say how much am I going to collect, what is my expenditure, and therefore balance the two. Otherwise, once the ratio does not balance, the problem will actually continue in that regard. The operational expenditure grant, what we've picked up is that the money was meant for some infrastructure development, and therefore because on that month the municipality was in a cash flow crisis, to say they won't be able to pay workers. Now, they wanted to take money from the grant and pay workers. And we said that cannot actually happen. That money is meant for what it's meant for. And the Department of Finance and ourselves managed, therefore, to transfer money to the municipality, and therefore about 5 million? 5 million. Just to make sure that they are able to pay salary and not utilize money that was meant to be a grant. Because we believe that that was money meant for service delivery. Okay. So, Nelly will text.
I think in terms of the cash flow, I think because it's also a passion of ours, is we also ask the municipality to be part of the team that monitors the cash flow on a daily basis. That's how bad it became, to a point where we were saying you can't continue spending. Daily we would sit as a committee with all the heads of departments within the municipality to say, today this is what we have in the bank, and this is what you are requesting, therefore it cannot be approved, so that they firsthand can see. Because if you are told by the CFO or the MM that we don't have money, it doesn't seem to click. So we thought, if we have a committee every morning before we start work, a requisition cannot be approved until they see it themselves, that here in the bank, this is how much we have, and this is how much you are requesting, and therefore it cannot be given to you. But that didn't also go too well, because some of the HODs wouldn't come to some of the meetings. So some of those are the challenges that really we are battling to actually be able to do much about it, because at the end of the day, they are a sphere on their own, so we can only do so much.
What are the politicians doing in this situation? The politicians. You are saying you as the HOD can't answer on behalf of the politicians, but I'm sure that you can tell us in this committee what are they doing.
Thank you, sir. I'm laughing because seriously, I'm interested what the politicians are doing. But then, this gentleman is from the administration.
Yeah.
I'm not going to answer to him, but I'm laughing. I wonder how he's going to answer what politicians are doing. And it seems that the administration is not accountable for politicians. But honestly, I'm impressed about the report and what I'm hearing here. But what worries me again, I mean, I've just read the report now, but I can follow. I can follow. This is what happened. This is what we are doing. This is where you are. I think that's what I like in the report. But now, when you were asking and you were reporting, I mean, you were explaining, just looked at you, and I can see that everything you are taking from your heart, I mean from your head, which means you know exactly what you are talking about. Now that's what is a little bit frustrating, because Honorable Watson is saying 30,000 per month for a car. Now you are saying 30,000. You are saying 25. Now, that information, if it was here, he could not have said 30. He could have said 25, because it's 25. Now, I think the data with the department or the administrators in this country is not to be upfront with the information. It's not to be upfront with the information, to give us the information and return down. It's not here. Now I'm nearly well with what Honorable Watson was saying. 30,000 hours are soft. Maybe someone from the Sky News or something that I heard about news here has noted that 30,000, which is a lot of money. But if you could have given us the information, Honorable Watson could not have said that. So it is important for you to provide us information up front, because we didn't know about this mayoral story and whatever. I didn't know about it, but you didn't come up front, because these are the things that you must come up with up front before they are asked. That's why you are said not to be doing things, not to be doing your work whilst you are doing your work. I'm trying to say, I'm impressed about the report and the way you are articulating these things. I'm worried that the ministry might have been articulating these things themselves, as they might be answering this question, not politicians are doing. They must be returned up. They must be documented. so that we are able to read and say, oh, this is what has been done, this is the things, this is how these things are going on. And that would be my comment on this report. And to further say, even if we're going to visit the area, I think we're going to visit the area, the municipality. And let's go and verify. But when we get there, at least the information must be on the document. It must be down, it must be down, we must not dig. Just give us, let the information flow so that we can appreciate the good work that you're doing, it is good. Or assist you by saying, you must improve here and there. I think I don't have any comment because what I'm seeing here, it's work in progress. I think you are doing something very good, you are trying to improve this thing. It's one information that might impact negatively on us, on what we are doing, is the information that you are not giving to us. If you are not giving information to us and we get it from other people, as Honorable Watson has done already, not saying he's done something wrong, but giving us information which somehow was not quite accurate. If you are right to say 25,000, well, I can't balance, I'm 13, 25, things are too big. So I'm trying to say, please provide us with accurate information, not to be the principal, think on it. Give us information before time, before being confused. I'm impressed about the report and the way things are being done, the progress here, people are trying to resolve the problem and they are able to identify them and work under them. But as the departments are not providing the information upfront, really, really we can't appreciate something that we don't know. So for future purposes when we come here, please bring all the information. When the mayor has the car, provide that information. So that when it is raised, we don't think behind our back, our minds, that you might not be giving us some information. Give us all the information. Thank you.
My colleague has raised the question of the car again. Look, whether it's 30,000 or 25,000, I'm not sure, because there's not clear transparency about this whole thing. And in fact, why I raise the question of the politicians is because the politicians are not informed by the executive. They're also having to guess and find out behind the scenes. And so I can't doubt whether it's exactly 30,000 or 25,000, or maybe it's 25,900 or 29,500. But the fact of the matter is, two cars were bought. And that's the point I'm making. And the one car, which is a 2006 model, I can tell you, I'm a politician and both my newest cars are 1995 models. So I don't think it's necessary for the mayor to have a new car just because the speaker has driven in the car. Now that car, a 2006 Audi A4, is a nice car. It's used for delivering notices to the councillors' houses and doing general errands. Why can't that car be used if we are in a position where we are in trouble? If my household is financially in trouble, the last thing I would do is to hire a new car. I would use the old car that's in the garage. That's the point I'm trying to make. Just to add on to the financial thing, you mentioned that they were trying to use, the MIC funds, I think, to pay salaries. But I've also heard that part of the debtors that they owe is to the license department in Gauteng. In other words, they've collected license money, they've used it to pay staff and to pay their debtors. So they've actually legally used that money. In your report, you talk about an overdraft that at one point, one stage was 1 million, and a year later, 9 million. Now, it's illegal for a municipality to have an overdraft account unless the department, the province approves it. Was that overdraft approved? I've heard that it was actually allocated for around 100 million. But was it formally approved? And then lastly, see, I read somewhere in the Auditor General's report something that disturbed me. And one of the, because they've had numerous disclaimers and unqualified reports, or rather unqualified Auditor General reports. I've actually read somewhere that the Auditor General said the reason why he cannot report properly is because some of the documents were destroyed in a fire in the office at the refinery, where the actual offices are in Raytown. Now, the Municipal Management Finance Act determines that there should be backup documents for everything. Is there evidence that backups were not kept from the documents, or did the Auditor General just take a shortcut?
Yeah, okay. The point I raised earlier, trying to get to and understand this whole situation, was that you indicated earlier that this problem has been there for the last 10 years. I just wanted some confirmation around that area. The second point, Chair, is that I'm aware of internal conflicts between politicians, and I'm not going to ask you that because I think it is important that when we get there, you know, we will be able to detect that situation around politicians themselves in that part of the country. Because I know there are very serious tensions, very serious problems, and that have resulted into the problem we are faced with now. You see? Yeah. But you see, what I was trying to get, because see, was trying to indicate to us that in terms of this term, you know, where did the problem start? Did it start 10 years ago or 5 years ago or whatever? You know, because you see, so that we understand this too, because my understanding was when this met around this debtors or people that are owing the municipality, you know, a lot of money. I mean, there are these political problems also. You must also be aware that there's a council that was DA controlled, you know, at some point. Yeah, but I'm saying DA controlled, transferred to that, hence all these problems, and we'll get that information from politicians themselves. You see. And that's why I'm trying to find out as to when did this problem start? Did it start now, in the last 5 years? 10 years ago, 15 years, because so that we have a clear understanding. You must understand that is a rural area, in the outskirts, a very rich area, in terms of minerals, in terms of farming, in terms of wild animals, and all those things. And that's the part that we're talking about. And the conflict, there's a lot of conflict of interest between communities in that specific area. You see? And I'm trying to say, we need to understand where the problem is, because we might blame those particular communities. Unfortunately, politically, there's an influence that comes from political parties that deals with that, hence with those particular problems. And that's the point I'm trying to drive at, you know, so that when we investigate, we know exactly what has happened, you know, so that we don't take things from face value. And I'm saying, if we go to that municipality, we want to meet with all communities, politicians and everybody else, so that we can get to the root. Because also, this rate association might have been influenced somewhere. That's why this particular problem, that they're not paying their rate, is influencing them. We get that particular situation when we get there. You see? Because you see, I don't want us to play politics here and go behind do something else. You see? Because those are farmers that do not want to pay. Those rate payers also. And I'm just saying, this is the situation. Because you see, we may be painting a wrong picture here, only to find out these farmers are influenced negatively from somewhere else. And that is the situation. It is not those poor communities that don't want to pay. And that is the reality of what is happening on the ground.
I just want to clarify something. This, the problems you're right, go a long way.
they go further than 10 years. Because we're now in 2010, and in 2000 the first elections, democratic elections, were held. Before that, there was already problems. The mayor before 2000 became the mayor of the district, and after the next election became the mayor of the other municipality, and is now out completely. So the history politically goes way beyond. The fight with the ratepayers is a fight by those farmers under the TLU, and they fought with the DA government when they were in governance for a short time, as much as they fought with the ANC. So that is not a political fight. It's a fight with farmers and authorities. It's not a political fight, that one.
Is it the economic fight?
Yeah, well, Jefferson, thank you very much. I forgot this question. The HOD has said that accounts are very old there. Now, my question will be, are you going to pay those accounts? And how, if you are going to pay it, how are you going to verify the legitimacy of this account? Because you are saying they are very old.
Just the last one. You know, what I said in my presentation is that this intervention, this municipality, is not just about this municipality only. But in the province, we recognize that there must be some intervention in all our municipalities regarding their finances. And therefore, a recovery strategy was actually developed on the basis that, one, there's no credit, there's no billing system that municipalities have that is credible, including this municipality. As a municipality, you must know who are your creditors. You must know who consumes what at what particular point in time. And that means that information was not available. So what we did then was to clean that information. We took that information, we cleaned it so that at least they can load it onto their system. So that on a monthly basis, they're able to bill correctly, because previously they could not actually do that. So what I mean about that, this account is that the municipality is owed money, but they did not have the records of who owns them, etc. Hence, we have to make sure that we go out there as a department and assist them to actually have credible information that must be loaded onto their data as part of their revenue collection strategy. So that's what we mean. So if, for instance, there's a supermarket that owes them money, the municipality must know that this supermarket is there and it must be built accordingly and therefore be able to pay for services consumed. So that's what I meant by those accounts. Secondly, is that there was also accounts that are outstanding from government departments. We went from each and every department in the province and say, which municipality do you owe? We called everybody to one meeting. We said, CFO, bring all your papers, bring all your data and sit here and say, transport department, you owe us so much. Infrastructure, you owe us so much. And we put a plan that the executive approved to say, by this time, all departments should have settled their bills. And that has happened. And then we agreed that municipalities must now bill correctly what they think is owed to them by provincial departments. And that is happening now. So that at least we don't have government departments owing municipalities, whether for property rates or for services consumed. So that was part of the plan that we did to actually help them to actually get out of the situation.
Clarity. So with other words, the municipality is not owing anybody money. You spoke about people who owe the municipality, but the municipality is not owing anybody.
The municipality does owe money, but the creditors for the municipality are not as old as the debtors. So we probably have quite a few creditors in 08-09. But yeah, it doesn't go back that far. I just wanted to add, in terms of the receiving payments, one of the initiatives with the debt recovery is that we are analyzing the debtor book for the last 5 years for those individuals who are able to pay the system. So what they will do is we'll go into every account holder within the municipality, investigate how they are performing in other markets. We'll look at the bank, if they're paying for their houses, if they're paying for their cars, if they're paying for their clothing accounts. And then if that person, the same person who's doing all of these, is not paying for their municipal account, then we know that we need to chase that person because they're not indigent, they're just playing the system. So this is one of the winning initiatives that we see, we believe as a province will really get the municipal debtors back.
I think the
my question on the
overdraft issue.
I think for the 0708 overdraft, it was approved. I'm not sure about the 0809. We just need to confirm that with Treasury because they do the approval.
Thank you very much. I think we are done. But I would want to echo what Honorable Nessie has said, to say at least you see an effort from the provincial department. There is an effort. Would really want to say, out of some reports we are getting, here you see the provincial department that tries to correct something. And also the choice of the section 189. This one, 5A, is specifically related issue, financial matters. And indeed, as you will clarify, as you present, you will see that you are focused, though there are challenges, but they are focused. What you do to do is to correct the issues that honorable members were raising, especially the question of the mayoral car. I think you must be bold and take a decision that things must be done according to the requirement of financial legislation. We shouldn't just move around when we have two cars, but the other one, take a decision to correct the matter. Because indeed, rental is going to be affecting the finances more than necessary. I think we need to take a decision. If the mayor doesn't want the car, he will walk to work. I mean, if the government has provided opportunities for that, and then you begin to be spiritual about it, then the government cannot help it. You'll have to do something. I think they must just go and say, this is what we are recommending, that this matter, as we come, because we are coming to Nuge, we must find it resolved. The other issue is the issue of what? The very same issue of the rate payers. I think it must be finalized. It needs to be finalized. I'm not a legal expert, but you have a light. When you said you have organized a team, that team you could see their skills, their legal people, their financial personnel, and all sorts of things. Let this matter be dealt with. And there shouldn't be politics about paying and not paying. I think to deal with that matter in such a way that it affects the community of Nigeria. When I said, where is the MEC, I was afraid of the way you answered us. To say, I don't sit in the chamber. I wanted to avoid that question because this is a political meeting.
Yeah.
It's not that technical. You need to back the MEC up with technical answers the way you are doing it. But politically, the MEC was to answer certain things that we've been asked here. I'm sure you can see why we had to question, say, why, where is the MEC, whatever. We didn't want you to be, now I'm not sitting in chairman, and of course you are not a councillor. You are not a mayor. you are a response team from the province, and then, which is good. That's what how we understand it, and you are doing well, but you need to go and express that thing that there were political questions that you could not bind the province for. And hence we wanted the MEC. And in fact, there was, it was not necessary for the MEC to apologize, because there is something that is being done. You see an effort in this regard by the province to try to intervene. We see an effort. We are not saying it's perfect, but it's something that the public will also want to know. What are you doing? This is what I'm doing. This is the challenges I meet and all sorts of things. And I think on that regard, we really want to congratulate you. And also, you did not even, maybe in the report as we come back, how do you rate at the intergovernmental relation level? How do you rate? Because if the relationship is also not well, because you are saying there is a support to other municipalities, that should indicate how you relate to other municipalities in terms of intergovernmental relations. You are premier mayor's forum, you are like district mayor's forums, and all sorts of things. I think as we meet there, we need to understand how we are giving support. But basically, indeed, I'm impressed, because here it's not only about intervention. It also shows the support that you are giving to these same municipalities. And the other issues, what Watson and Matisa says, in terms of political, you know, aspect part of it, you can't answer it. You can't answer it, but we want to know what is the contribution. Can you answer that?
I can partly answer it, because some of the
you are out of order. You
are
not a politician. You need politicians. I want to save you, because you will open up questions that you might not be able to answer out of this honorable. They are politicians. To save you, just say we are coming. Tell politicians to be ready for this. You see, Bloom was coming to jump. So in short, we are happy that there is something that has been done, and we'll meet and then we'll engage. I think there's a program of Uganda Dharma. Preparations have been made. We thank you very much, HOT. Keep it up and make sure that you share the best practices with other municipalities. Should not be only at Uganda, really. Transfer the skill to other MM. Thank you very much. The meeting stands adjourned. I don't know whether there's food or no food or whatever. No food.
The explanation for that.
No food.
It's over expenditure of the committee.
But if the committee is going to understand, they are going to sit on that. We must spend. That money is not
the same.